Please be seated. For the last week or so, I've been feeling tender. I don't mean sad or anxious or afraid, just tender. This didn't come on instantly. At first, I just felt a little off kilter. But after a few days, I noticed that I often felt like crying. At this point, any tale of human travail is likely to make my heart ache. Over the weekend, I pondered how to describe this tender feeling. Into my mind popped the image of a soft-shell crab. Apparently, my crabby self has had to leave behind her crusty but reliable old shell. Without the usual protections, my delicate insides are exposed to the often indelicate pokings and proddings of the world. As to why I am right now so sensitive to those pokings and proddings, maybe it's because I was sick last week. Maybe it's because of the continuing human and environmental toll of the November elections. Maybe it's because of the large number of people associated with St. Thomas's who are dealing with the death of a close family member. Most likely, each of those things was a factor. But I'm pretty sure that what put me over the top was this: Ash Wednesday was looming. Lent just makes me feel tender. This has been true for years. You'd think I would learn to expect it, but it's always a surprise, a stalking cat creeping up on me in the night. And so here we are. Suddenly it's Ash Wednesday. I'm feeling vulnerable, and we're in the midst of the year's most unsettling liturgy. One could argue that Good Friday is tougher than Ash Wednesday, but I disagree. Good Friday carries brute emotional impact, but it's pretty straightforward with its heavy dose of loss and grief. Ash Wednesday is subtle and nuanced, rather like that hunting feline. Ash Wednesday makes demands of us, as it asks us to both seek and offer forgiveness. Ash Wednesday affects every person differently from every other person, because every person brings to it their unique history, a history that they must necessarily wrestle with. I know that some of us have trouble with Ash Wednesday because we grew up with the message that we were innately and inescapably sinful, simply because we inhabit our bodies. Yes, personal and institutional sinfulness is real, but I refuse to believe that sin is the defining essence of our existence. If there is a sin weighing on you, by all means, seek forgiveness. If someone seeks your forgiveness, by all means, offer it if the time is right for you. But let's also remember that the heart of the issue isn't sin and forgiveness, at least not exactly. The heart of the matter is separation from the love of God. Sin does have the power to separate us from the love of God. Whether we are the sinner or the one sinned against, penitence and forgiveness can help close that separation. But there are a lot of other things that separate us from the love of God, some of which we can do little about. And so for me, the bigger question of Lent is this: what is separating me, what is separating you from the love of God, and what can be done about it? The liturgical year begins with Advent, the season during which we prepare for the Messiah's arrival at Christmas. Next comes the season after the Epiphany, when Jesus' divinity is revealed and its implications explored. Now we have Lent. To put it another way, God is with us, now what? This sweep of Advent to Christmas to Epiphany to Lent kind of reminds me of a marriage. There's preparation, there's a wedding, there's a honeymoon, and then follows the hard reality of figuring out how to manage life, everyday life together, while still growing in loving intimacy. It's not easy doing this with another human. It's not easy doing this with God. God sees us at our worst, like when we wake up in the morning with bad breath and bedhead. It's not always pretty. We have a choice to either rush out of bed and try to sneak off to the bathroom for a shower and makeup before God wakes up, or to just let it all hang out, knowing that God knows, knowing that God loves us even when we have bad breath and bedhead. The truth is, we only grow in intimacy when we let our spouse see our bedhead and, well, smell our bad breath. It's probably the same with God. We have to let ourselves be vulnerable. At the start of this homily, I mentioned feeling like a soft-shell crab. In preparation for this homily, I did some research about crabs and molting. It's actually pretty interesting. Because the crab exoskeleton is hard, crabs must molt in order to grow. They only grow during the month or so period of time between hard shells. A king crab will molt 15 to 20 times in its lifetime, including 6 times the first year. As they age, male crabs molt less frequently, but female crabs must molt annually for mating. That part I'll let you work with on your own. Now there's more, and I'm quoting, "Besides allowing the crab to grow, molting helps to get rid of parasites, barnacles, and other animals growing on the shell. It also helps to get rid of shells damaged by bacteria that degrade the chitin in the exoskeleton." One more thing. Crabs that have lost legs can regenerate them over time. The leg breaks off at a special joint. Before molting, a new limb bud with all the remaining leg segments grows out of the joint. After molting, the new leg is smaller than the others. The crab needs 3 molts to grow a leg back to its normal size. I think that molting crab is actually a pretty good metaphor for Lent. It takes a month for the crab to grow its new exoskeleton. For us, maybe the 40 days of Lent is just about right. Rather than be surprised by feeling tender, we might actually be wise to cultivate that tenderness. If we shed our old shells, we can leave behind all sorts of barnacles and bacteria. We might even grow a new limb. We might feel unprotected and vulnerable, at least for a while. Lent reminds us that a little tenderness might be just what we need to grow closer to God. A little tenderness might be just what the world needs right now.